We're live.
We're live. Okay, this is the final of the series on Shmuel Bet Rabinovich Home. We continue where we left off last week. We are about to start Perek Yud Beis, or Yud Bet, however you feel more comfortable. We discussed last week the sin of David and Bathsheba. We discussed how David sent Uriah, Bathsheba's wife, out to the front lines, where he ultimately was killed, and went on to marry Bathsheba. This week we get to see the fallout from that. We start with Yud Beis Aleph. Ayishrach Adonai es Noson el David vayavo erav vayemro ro. Shnei anoshim hoyu v'ir echad echad ashir ve'echad rosh. So he turns. So God sends Nosson and David to David, and he's going to rebuke him, and he's going to do it through the ways of a parable. He said, once upon a time, there were two people who lived in the city. One was rich, and one was poor. The wealthy man had many flocks of sheep and cattle. V'larosh Ein kol ki im kipsa achas ketano asher kona v'yechayeho v'tigdol imo v'imbano v'yachtov v'pito socha mikiso tishte v'cheko tishkov atiru kivas. The poor man, he had nay but one little sheep, a little lamb, and for this lamb was part of the family, grew up with him, together with him and his children, ate from his bread, drank from his cup, slept with him in bed, treated him like one of the family. What happened? Vayavo, heilech u'isha asher vayachmo akachas mitzano mibakaro vayachasos ba'oreach ha'boro vayikach eskifsas ish harosh vayasel ish ha'boirav. The rich man decides that he wants the sheep, and with that he goes on to take the sheep. The Gemara in Sukkah comments that this is this rich man is the Yetzer Hara, who, this is how he gets into us. At first he is walking, as I say, Vayavo Helech, right, then he's La'asos L'Orech, then he makes himself a guest, until eventually what? He moves in. So looking at the Gemara number one, Sukkah and Beis and Beis, Amar Rava, B'tchila Koro Holech, U'besov Koro Orech, U'besov Koro Ish. At first he is just passing by, then he is a guest, then he's actually the man. Shenema ve'eva ha'lech l'isha ha'ashir v'yachmol ha'kachas mitzano v'bekaro l'asos l'oreach t'v'yikech et kiftas ha'ish ha'rash v'yas l'ish ha'bo'irav. So this is the way that it always happens. The Yetzer Hara first passes by, stops in a little bit, eventually gets us. David not catching on to what's going on here. V'echar af David ba'ish ma'od. So the man should be put to death. Now, obviously this isn't a good thing. Doesn't death penalty for robbery seem to be a little bit over the top? So, we can take a look at number two. The Gemara in Bavakan called Gozal Shavio Shavapru Tekil Notol Nishmosom Imenu. Stealing is similar to taking a man's life. We discussed that on Sunday a little bit. It's a kenoches kol beitzei, etc. So on a certain level there is sense to this. Also we had mentioned, actually I didn't mention here, I mentioned at BMH, that the melech in particular has the power to give extrajudicial punishment if he sees that there's something that's a crime that is particularly heinous. He couldn't punish beyond the letter of the law. And in fact, if this was an actual case, David HaMelech would have had the ability to kill the man. Much to the chagrin of David, there was no such case, but rather David was the man. Pasuk Vav, V'esa kivsa yisham abro toyim, ekev asher ostas ha-davar zeh v'al chamal. And the man will not only pay the usual kefel, he will have to pay kefel. He will have to pay four times, because of what he did and because he wasn't particularly sensitive to who he was stealing from.
He also slaughtered the animal, no?
What?
He has to pay Arba because he slaughtered the Keves.
So you're saying it's Dalav Lehei.
Right.
there's a halacha with the, there's a difference of paying for a sheep than for
right,
a
right, that's his point.
Yes.
Right. That's
right.
His point.
Right.
Solid point. Okay.
So legally, he has a legal part.
Right. Right.
But
obviously, killing is extra legal.
So it was a kumay min rabba minay. You would he would say mm-hmm. less than example.
Well, if it was kumay min rabba, he wouldn't have to pay.
Yeah.
In fact, David HaMelech does himself in by saying he should have to pay four times. That punishment comes back at him. A famous Gemara in Yuma, number three, Ksiv, as Kusi Shem Arbatayim, Yelad Amnon Tamar Va'avshalom. That David HaMelech will be punished four times for this, and that it makes up a large part of the rest of the Sefer. One is, as we'll see in this parak, he'll lose a child. Two, a lot of order, Tamar is going to be raped, his daughter. Amnon, the rapist, is going to be killed, and Avshalom, his son, is going to rebel against them. And all of that is seen as a direct response to what David does and how he judges the case. Here's the big line.
I have a question.
Ask.
There's a Gemara that says that David was not did not have to pay four times for this, and instead his tikkun was to actually be the judge for Nida issues for the rest of his life.
So, yes, there's a Gemara that says he was a judge for Nida issues for the rest of his life. However, he still gets punished for this. As Gemara here in Yuma says, as we will see will happen throughout the rest of the Sefer.
So is that Gemara in conflict with this Gemara?
I don't know that Gemara by heart. I don't remember it saying that he didn't have to, that he wasn't getting punished because of it.
No, it didn't say he wasn't getting punished. It just said that his tikkun. It seems as if the Gemara was saying that instead of a punishment, he had to do a reparation for it.
Right. So I have to see it. I don't remember saying instead of.
Okay.
So that's what I'm not willing to say.
Okay.
So. And now the jig is up. Pasuk Zayin Vayomer Nosan El David Ato Ha'ish. You the man. Ko Amar Adonai Elohei Yisrael Anochi Meshachticha L'melech Al Yisrael V'Anochi Tzalticha Miyad Sha'ol. He said, you are the one who did it. He said, listen, I was the one who made you the king. I was the one who saved you from Sha'ol. Ve'etnolecha es beis Adonecha ve'esneshe Adonecha b'chaykecha ve'etnolecha es beis Yisrael v'Yehuda v'im ma'at ve'osifolecha kohena v'chohena. So there are two important halachas that we're going to learn from this pasuk. He says, what? You got the wives of Shaul, and if that's not enough for you, I'll give you kohena v'chohena. The Gemara in Sanhedrin in different places brings down both parts of this pasuk to indicate what we learn from it. Looking at number four, the Gemara in Yud Ches Amud Aleph says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nosei HaMelech Almanoso Shal Melech. A king can marry the almana of another king. General, the rule is that anything that a king uses, no one else has a right to use. However, the exception is another king. So not only can he use his crown, and not only can he use his throne, but in fact he can marry the wife as well. No one else can do that. How do we see that? She came at Zin Badab, and she knows Almanuso Shal Shal. She Namar, Vet Novachas Besar Mechaves, and she had Mechabeche Kechem, as it says here. David married the wives of Shaul. Why? Because he was a king as well. The next Gemara says, if you don't have enough wives, I can get you more and more than that. What does that mean? So the Mishnah tells us that the king is allowed to have up to 18 wives. Now, David's going to hit the max. When do we see that he hits the max? Actually, it's not until Malachim Aleph. When you have the situation when he's older and he needs a young woman to keep him warm, Avishag HaShunamit, at that point, the question is, why doesn't he marry her? And the answer is because he's maxed out. He's maxed out on his cards.
So Pilakshim, you can have as many as you want.
Right, Pilakshim don't count. So how do we know the number is 18? So the Gemara says, you see it from this pasuk. Why? Dixiv, Vayarodu LeDavid Banim BeChevron, Vehi Bechora Amnon Rachinom HaYisraelis. So how many wives does he have? One Achinom Ben Yisraelis. Mishneo Kolev Avigail, Aishas Navom, Avigail too, is two. Vashlishi Avshalom ben Macha, Varvi Adonia ben Chagil, Vachamishi Shafat ben Avital, Vashisi Yisom Eishas David, El Yodru David Chevron. So we see that David at this point has six wives. That's enough, I'll give you this and I'll give it again. So 6 plus 6 plus 6 is 18. Kahena shis, v'chahena shis. So you have 6, I'll give you 6 and 6 more. That means he was allowed to have 18 wives. Davray timnisri. Maschach ravina, ema kahena, tartisrei, v'chahena, esrin v'arba. So maybe I'll give you double this amount, which would mean 12, and double that amount, which will allow him to have 24. And there's a place that indicates that 24 is not. Denied that, but it says kahena, kahena, that would be 24. Vichahena, perhaps that's an additional one. Right? So kahena, 12. Kahena, 24. Vichahena, 48. Tainam, royabo, nodosh, yosim, arba, mishmona. Tainam, my time, I'm Rav Kahana, makish. Kahena basal, kahena kama, makahena kama shis, afkahena basal shis. No, the fact that kahena, vichahena means the two numbers are the same. You're only going to add 6 the first thing, you add the 6 the second time. But this entire machlokes about how many wives a king can have is based on this pasuk. How do you learn what is the pasuk trying to tell us? We assume the lowball number of mere 18 wives.
Shlomo had 1,000.
Shlomo had problems. That wasn't a good thing.
Okay.
That is correct. So he says to him, listen, David, what did you need this for? I've taken care of you until now. You need more wives? I'll get you more wives. Madua bazisas devar adonai rasosa rabbe enov. Es uria achiti kisa bacherev es ishto rakachto luchol reisha. Also rakta bacherev b'nei Amon. He said, you killed Uria, you took his wife, and you killed him through the war with b'nei Amon. So did he really kill him? So the Gemara and Shabbos says, don't take that literally. Number 6, what was wrong? It's not that you weren't allowed to kill. He was a Morid B'malchus, as we spoke about last week. There were specific instructions that he was given that he did not listen to. And for that, he deserved to be killed. However, you should have taken him to court. You should have gone and said, listen, I gave him a specific order. He didn't listen, therefore he should pick this. It indicated that, don't worry, that marriage is fine. You have a right to marry her. Why could he marry her? As we said, because they were not married at the time. Tosfos said on that Gemara, says it's questionable whether that's true. If somebody rebels against the king really has to take the people to court?
No.
That's one answer. So Tulsa says, Kasha Lari, the Beperkah of the Megillah, I mean, and Gabi Novel, the Moib Malchus, Lo Bayer Midinayu. By the case of Novel, he didn't have to go to court, so why does he have to go to court now with Uria? The Moib Megillah indicates you don't have to hear it, in the case you do have to. Uria Moib Malchus, Havi, Kidal Moib Samaf, Yeshom, the Valley Tarkadon of Reda, Im Hu Moib Malchus, Avore. So he said, no, you don't really need a court case here, but need someone to determine that he in fact was a Morid B'malchus. And unless it's eminently obvious, you can't make that decision on your own.
But it was custom at the time that they gave the gap before they went to war.
Correct.
So why need to go to court?
To kill him. The issue is that he puts Uriah to death afterwards.
Yes.
So even if a guy divorces his wife, there's no reason to kill him.
It's a question of whether then, if he knew he was going to battle, then that is the potential risk anyways.
There's no potential risk you're going to get killed by your own king.
No, but he's going to war, when he goes to war.
Right, but David killed him.
You set him up so he'd be killed.
Right, this wasn't a normal...
Right, but the Gemara seems to try to... Gemara seems to try to put David in a better light.
But not here.
No. Okay.
Right. I mean, this isn't the whitewash. This is calling you like they see them. oftentimes it puts him in a better light. And this time, not necessarily so.
Why would David need to bring him to court if the king has the power to just kill anyone by his will?
So it is good to be king. We'll accept that. However, that being said, you know, he can kill anybody for the right reason. So let's say my name is Achav, and my neighbor has a field that I want, hypothetically. Do I have a right to kill him because I'm the king?
No.
Why not?
You have the right. It's not necessarily correct.
Uh-huh. So let's say I'm Dovin and I want to do the right thing. I want to kill this guy. Wouldn't it be right to get a legal opinion in the matter?
I don't think he wanted a legal opinion. He just wanted them dead.
Okay, but does that make it right? Does might make right?
That's exactly what the Navi is saying, right?
Mm-hmm. You know. With great power comes great responsibility. Mm-hmm. The Me'iri takes a different shot. This Afu Pisha Dine Amalchus Dinim Kavuim. Even though the king has great powers that he can kill even more than the Sanhedrin can, however, if there is a situation where the king is killing somebody because there was an affront to his honor, it is appropriate for a different party to be doing this. Why? Because if not, people will talk. Perhaps rightfully so. However, if he does it, he doesn't get punished. He has a right to do it. Just not appropriate. So that's what's saying here. Not saying that you're chayiv for killing him. You're saying that was inappropriate the way that he did it. Don't worry, you're not being punished for that, but realize what you did was wrong.
So is a king allowed to? A king is not to be allowed to be mocha on this kavod, correct?
Correct.
So really, the king is allowed to kill someone because he is more the malchut, but not for a personal reason.
Correct.
So that's really why he needs a legal opinion, right?
Right. He's supposed to be defending. He might be just defending the honor of the title, but this shouldn't be that he's taking it personally. That should be below him. Interesting, there is a famous Rambam which discusses if I hire a hitman to kill someone, am I chayiv?
Yeah.
So Sam says, Eishlech Udvar Avera. What do you say about that?
I say if you hire a messed up a hitman who doesn't have proper knowledge, then you're chayiv.
Proper knowledge means that he doesn't know that murder is wrong?
No, like he's a katan.
It's a katan. He's not drunk. He's just, you know, somebody who needs to make a living. Ayidach machna parnasa. So what would you say about that?
So you're still killing him?
No, he's killing him. I'm just paying for it.
You would kill him if you weren't paying.
Okay, but I did pay him, and now he did. So is it my problem or is it his problem?
He's not in people court.
What?
In people court, you're fine, but in heaven, you're...
So if you look at the Gemara Kedushin, it discusses this very case, and it says, our pasuk is the answer to all the world's questions. How do you like that? All the world's questions. Tani, ha'omer roshuchot tseva arogis ha'nefesh. That's the answer to all the world's questions?
42.
Hitchhiker's Guide?
Yeah, that's a great book.
Good call, huh? Toru Mata.
So,
the Gemara says, Omer Shulcha, if I sent him my messenger, go kill somebody, who chayiv is Shulcha Potter? The guy who does the killing is chayiv, however the guy who sent him is Potter. Shammai Hazokin Omer, Mishum Chagai Hanavi. Shammai Hazokin had a tradition from Chagai Hanavi. Shulcha chayiv. Even the person who sends him is chayiv. How do you know? Shinamar, Oso harakta b'cherer b'nei Amon. Because David is being held liable for killing Uriah, even though he didn't do it. So there's a machokas in the Gemara as to, in general, if you hire a hitman, are you chayav for that? And the opinion that says yes bases itself on this pasuk.
So why from Chana and not, why not from small Ben?
So that's where he has his tradition from. But this is the source.
This is talking about Dinei Adam.
This is talking about Dinei Adam. Pashas, or else we wouldn't have a machokas. You think someone says Nachai Midinei Shemayim? That'd be great. The Radak deals with this. So on the one hand, Sam says that Eshech Dvar Veira. On the other hand, there seems to be a pasuk that goes against it. So the Radak says a little bit like you say, and says as follows: Acher she'omar hikisa b'cherav Rama Omar v'osa harakta b'cherav b'nei Amon. The pasuk makes 3 points here, and 1 and 3 seem to be the same, right? Right? What do you say? Uriah achita hikisa b'cherav. You killed Uriah. Ves ishto v'kachta. You married his wife. V'osa harakta b'cherav b'nei Amon. And then you killed him. So isn't 1 and 3 the same? You killed him. You took his wife. You killed him. Radak says, what's going on here?
His wife means kill him.
What?
Took his wife means kill him, so kill him.
Killed him, took his wife, killed him.
So the second killed him is related to his wife?
So you're saying that second killed him doesn't mean he killed him, but he added insult to injury. So Radak says as follows. Ratzel Mishteiros Asisa Bimasasa. One Sharakta Becher B'nei Amon. Chomar Sheifalto Biyad Tzoni Yisrael. You had him die fighting. Dvirvei Chazal Afa Gav Dechol Torah Kula Ein Shech Udvar Veira Ki Bechol Mokom HaShavayah Potter V'Asher Chayev. Hachar Shaini. Even though in general there's Ein Shech Udvar Veira, and if I hire someone to do a sin, it's his problem, not mine. Hachar Shayin Dishar Kosov Koro Horeg. So this is different. Shneva V'Oso Harakta V'Atav V'Hishar Yemelech V'Ein Ovar Mitzvaso Kilo Hu Harga. So in general, why is it Ein Shech Udvar Veira, Sam? Divrei Rav, Divrei Tal, Divrei Mishom. I'm not focused what that means, but according to at least one of the opinions, it means that I tell you to kill somebody. God tells you not to. Who are you supposed to listen to?
God.
Or, on the other level, when I tell you to kill somebody and I know that it's also, it means I wasn't serious. Because I didn't think you'd listen to me. That's like I walk into the call and I say, if they have lasagna again for dinner tonight, I want you to kill the person who is serving it. We didn't have lasagna tonight. Right? So, don't say it seriously. You know, there shouldn't be reported on here Hurim that I've been, I feel like kill people who serve lasagna. So that's the general rule. The general rule is if I tell you to do something that's an avera, there's no assumption that, the assumption is that I did not expect this to get done. I wasn't serious about it. What if I'm the king?
Yeah, the king is like, so then it goes to the
pasuk. Right, so again, as well, if the person is not does not have the mental capability to understand that, I can't hide behind the fact I thought he wasn't going to do it. So too, if this is the king, again, you can't say, well, you know, I didn't think it was going to happen.
Hashem would have known David's kavana
anyways. Right, but it's not just Hashem knowing David's kavana. It's also a matter of would he be liable in a court?
Evidence or a question of evidence for it.
Right. So his defense of just kidding doesn't fly at that point.
But is he considered a gosis because he's basically a mord b'malchut? The only thing was that
until Gemardin, you're not a gosis. Right? Wasn't it Gemardin here? More bar ketilah than a gosis.
The Shammai Azakin agree. I mean, this the Gemara sounds like it's a machlokes, but the Radak
right.
No machlokes. Everyone.
So again, the Radak is against Shammai Azakin, okay. Which is a good site to be on because we don't pass on the Shammai Azakin. Okay. So you can't knock that. And he brings in another case. When Shaul says to wipe out the Novi Arkohanim. Same idea. You can't hide behind the fact that, I didn't think they're actually going to do it. You're the king. You give an order. One has to assume they're going to take that relatively seriously. Before we go on, an interesting point. The Drosh HaSaran. The Drosh HaSaran asked a question, which I think was a little asked over there. So, Bir, Lama Shenichta Shana Ksuvim Oven Bashev, Kilo David Chata. If, in fact, we accept all these Gemaras, that David didn't really sin. He didn't sleep with an Eishes Ish, really. She wasn't married at the time, etc. So why did the Nach write it in such a way that makes him look so bad? Right?
Why was he punished at all?
Right.
What? You know,
what
was...
Nobody says David's sin is wrong.
Right, so if that's the case, well, the Navi says it, so the Navi's wrong. Right? So what's the Navi going off and writing things this way or giving people the wrong impression? Good question. If somebody makes an accidental sin, we try to cover it up. For example, in the case of the Mekoshesh, when the Gemara says who did it, so they say the Torah didn't want people to know, what are you telling people for? Right? In general, we try, if something was really not that bad, we try not to talk about it. Gemara tells us the difference between Moshe and David. Moshe said, tell them what I did wrong. Let them know where I messed up. Don't let them think that I was perhaps...
perfect.
No. Part of the Meraglim. Don't think that I didn't want to go into Israel. Let them know I wanted to go into Israel. I just messed up someplace else. So David, on the other hand, always wanted it, as opposed to... Moshe wanted it public. David didn't want it public. David, al yichtol sirchoni. David says, don't say it. Shinemar, asher nosli pesher kisui chata av kevin shekenu hechid siya kosov inyan bashev v'oriya b'inyan shira chata chit otzum. David doesn't want it public at all. Neither did they publish it, but they write it in a way that it seems much worse.
Didn't you also, when Jacob said to the helm, he was, my mind is blanked on, you know, where he expresses contrition over the whole episode. He himself admits.
Right, but you know, why does it write it over worse than it actually was?
Some of the Mefarshim say, I think it's Mefarshim, or it's Gemara. They say that because David requested a test, and we should never request a test, mm-hmm. and so he said to Hashem, test me, and then Hashem tested him, and this is what happened.
Correct. We discussed that last week at length. But still... So he stepped into it. He shouldn't have done it. But still, that does not explain why the Navi is making it out much worse than it actually was.
Maybe we just expect that from
David
now.
Let's see what the Ran says about this.
The Gemara says not just David.
But
talks about other people.
Reuven.
Yehuda.
Yehuda too. There's a long list. That about one
is going to pertain.
Kol Omer, Shlomo. Afterwards, Chata in Lotoa, in Lotoa.
Moshe was the only one. Moshe was the only one who said.
Let it ride. As far as we know. So the Ran takes the following approach. Aval hachuva bezer ki ha-goli va-ha-sosu me-inyano heim ikarim gedolim ba-ha-chuva. What has to be private and what has to be public is very important for a bal tshuva. Kosh Omer Zal, im chota yachid omar lo kach etzol yachid. As we said last week, David HaMelech is the paradigm of tshuva for the individual who sins. V'lo chay nitzi ha-kosuv zeh ki ilu chota chay godol va-otum. Ki oso ha-ma'at le-David k'mo she-modim lo razal she-chota, ha-yo nech-shalo k'mo she-hu nech-shal va-odim acher she-chota al-ma-shi yor-ala p'shad-ha-kosuv. Why do they make it worse? Well, it seems to be a twofold answer. On the one hand, for David HaMelech, we expect a lot better from him doing this was as bad as somebody else doing something as it was written. And we want to indicate to somebody that even if you do something as bad as was written, there's room for tshuva. So the Ran has that they translated David's sin into every man's sin to indicate that in that case we can still do tshuva. So that is the reason why it blows it up. In order that if we mess up, we should not be as concerned. That there's always a possibility to repent. An interesting approach. Moving on. Pasuk Yud. Vatero sosur chervi beis chav. Ad olam ekev kiva zisa. Vatikach es eishas uriachite li yoslecha li ish. Therefore, there will always be violence in your family because of what you did. Therefore, you're going to be attacked from within your house. They will take your wives and live with them publicly. This is, of course, referring to the story of Avshalom. Avshalom, correct. The Gemara makes a very interesting statement about this. So the Gemara says, Mizmar l'David b'barcho b'b'dei Avshalom b'no. That there's a Mizmar, a song that he sings when he's running from Avshalom. So Mizmar l'David? What's he happy, so happy about? His son has rebelled and has thrown him out. Kino l'David b'boy. This should be on the kinos. Omer Rav Shimon ben Avishalom, Moshul l'mah adavar domo, Odom shiotza lo shtarchov, Kodom sheparo hu otza l'achar sheparo sameach. What's it like a man who has a debt to pay? Before he pays the debt, he is sad. After he has paid the debt, he is happy. What's that going here? Afkan came David. Came Shu Amul Loha Kosh Baruch Hu Nimi Kim Lecha Rami Beis Echa Hoya Atziv. Said, listen, there's someone's going to rebel from your house. He was sad. Amar Shema Ever O Mamzer Hu Lo Chayas Alay. Maybe it'll be a Mamzer or an Ever to somebody who will have no mercy on me. Came the Chod Avshon Hu Sameach Mishom Hachi Omer Mizmar. He said, oh, could have been worse. So he settles on that.
Did he have Mamzerim?
What?
Did he have Mamzerim?
Could have hired one. Had Avodim. The Radak here raises a fascinating question, and this is a question that is hashkafically exceedingly important. And the question basically is outside, how in the world can we now have a Gezerah that Avshalom is going to sin? What does this do for Avshalom's Bechira? Avshalom has free will. He should be able to decide whether he wants to sin or not. Once we have now announced that he is about to sin, how does that work?
Who said it was Avshalom?
What?
It doesn't say Avshalom.
Right. So.
Like Paro.
What?
It's like with Paro.
Oh, good call. It's like Paro. Excellent call. So we have to look at all of these cases. So Radak says, "Leinei Hashem Shazos, begolik, he begolik lichnas Avshalom b'mamor olam. Yesh rishol, ech nigzah hakel al Avshalom sheyachta v'yishka v'mnishay aviv v'mrochot David lo yachote Avshalom." It seems to be that David wouldn't have done this with Bathsheba. Avshalom would have never done what he did. So how could this be? V'nei nenas David b'davar chayin Avshalom yesh parsh ki hakel al gozer b'feirish al Avshalom lo hiskiro b'shem. Well, as we pointed out, no one mentioned Avshalom. But the answer is no. David, that Avshalom sinned because he did sin. However, under normal circumstances, God would have provided protection for the wives of David, for the sake of David. Now the punishment was that protection was lifted. So according to this Avshalom thing was happening from the get-go. Already at this point, God knows this is where it's going. Right? Not that there's a gazer that someone's going to have to do it, and Avshalom steps up and takes the offer. Rather, Avshalom was going to do this one way or the other, and now protection was taken away. That's one approach. This is, of course, as correctly pointed out, very related to the question of
Paro.
Why? What's wrong with Paro? What does Paro have to do with this? I don't see any Paros here.
400 years to Abraham.
Right, so it says that the Jews are going to go into Galus, and they're going to be worked exceedingly hard. And that was what happened. So what do you have against Paro? Paro was just doing the will of God. So, the Rambam, the Ravid, the Rambam all deal with this. They are number 14 and 15 in the very excellent sheets.
Then you can go and question Yaakov too, because then you can say, well, if that was the will of God, then why did Yaakov take his family from Goshen and then go to Mitzrayim, and then now everybody is going into that.
So what do you have against Yaakov?
Well, if Hashem's, everything in life is b'chira nafshi, so even if when we say it's b'chira nafshi, Hashem had a plan for Bnei Yisrael, so...
Right, no, again...
So then you go to Yaakov and you say, okay, well, Yaakov, why did you leave the land of Goshen? Like, why did you
leave Goshen? Why did you leave Canaan to go to Goshen?
Yeah.
No, what? There are two choices there.
Sorry. Why did he leave Israel to go to Goshen?
Because God said so. If I had to defend him, I'd be pretty comfortable with that defense. Right? God tells him to go down. Don't worry about it.
I would question him.
What?
I would question him.
You would question God?
No, not God. Yaakov.
So if you question Yaakov, Yaakov's defense is because God told me to.
Isn't there a refreshing one that questions him on it? I'm sure there is.
I know, it's a pasuk as far as I know.
Okay.
Right? Yosef, Yishis Yadav Alinecha.
There's something if he had faith. What is it if he had faith that there would be food? He should have had faith.
Right? Pretty befairish.
He should have had faith that there would have been food and he didn't need to leave for the famine.
So the so perhaps there was something wrong when he sent down the first time. Not when he moved. When he moved, God told him to move. It's hard to argue with that one. So,
I just asked a question, like, earlier, just from earlier on, but whatever. When you said about that, Rabbi Yochanan says that from the story we learn that anybody who steals, when a person steals, he steals a soul. So, we don't learn that from here. We learn that from when Yaakov's running away.
I don't think we said we learned it from here. Number three, I think, was? Right, so we just brought that down as to understand why David wants to kill him. We're not saying that he's using this as a source. The Rambam, we'll go through it quickly. Just worth noting, even though it's not necessarily directly related, but it is related to the doc here. Oh, kasa b'torah v'avadum yinu osam. Hare gozo ar mitzvim v'asos ra. V'ksiv v'kama ama zeh v'zanach el heit nechar ha'aretz. Similarly, Moshe Rabbeinu announces that we're going to do avodah zarah eventually. We're just helping him out. We're just being good people here. Hare gozo ar yisrael avod kochav mozalos v'rabba nifre mehem. So, if there was this gezerah, why are they being punished for it? So this was the answer that was offered up earlier on. No, there is an announcement that eventually people are going to be Oved Avodah Zarah. It doesn't say everybody's going to be Oved Avodah Zarah. It will be people. Each individual makes a decision whether they're going to be that person or not. Right? God just saying that someone's going to do it. I just know it. It's like an announcement that we're going to have a nation here. There are going to be good people and bad people. That's not a gezeirah that some people have to be good and some people have to be bad. It's a fact. So it is. Some people do good, some people do bad. Not, they announced they have to be bad people, so therefore I'd like to sign up and be the bad people. No. Just like it says, that at all points in history there'll be poor people. Right? It's inevitable that somebody's going to be poor. So, is it a gezerah? I'm here by volunteering to be poor? No, it's an economic fact that at all times some people will be comfortably above the poverty line, and other people will unfortunately not. That's just the way of the world. Seriously, the entire Egyptian nation were bad to the Jewish people. That doesn't mean any individual had to do it. As we know with other enemies of Israel, there always were a handful who decided, no, I'm not going to do this. So that's the Rambam's approach. The Ravid doesn't like it, not one bit. I think that the Ravid is particularly sharp here. Amar van Elohim arichus dvarim she'enam mutubalim v'chai rosh k'mad eni omer she'em divri naras. You know, this is just ridiculous. This is just crazy talk, man. And that's practically foolishness. Yomar abarim b'zom l'ramaz anisa ani lo iskartiru b'she'em k'dei she'tomar she'racha gazarti. The people are saying that they use this as a defense. So what's going on? So he says no. The Aravid is of the opinion, we'll just try to pick up the pace a little bit, that had the Mitzrim beat up on the Jews, then Moshe comes down and says, time's up, and they said, fine, okay, we had our fun, they'd be off scot-free. The reason they get punished is only for what happens afterwards. When they refuse to listen to God, that's what they get punished for. But it's an interesting idea that he actually accepts the idea that this was, someone had to do it, and if they just stepped up and did it, that would have been the end of it. The Ramban is a very different approach. I'll try to do that quickly. Number 15, this goes, of course, back to Parshas Lech Lecha, correct? Bal Kori's in the crowd. So he says that God is actually saying there that even though there is such a gezeira, they will still be punished. Why? Shani katzafti ma'at vehima azur ra, v'omor katzafti da. V'chein haya, so sifal ara, ki yishrichu b'neim ra'ar. So that they were too machmir when it came to doing this. If they were just enslaving, that was one thing. Once you take the children, you start throwing them into the river, that's above and beyond. But interesting to the Ramban seems to be saying that there is some defense here of someone's got to do it. So again, the Ramban and the Ravid both seem to be saying this. The Ravid says they didn't stop on time. The Ramban said they went too far. But unlike the Rambam, who doesn't have any concept of this whatsoever, and the Radak here, you put that together, and you know they both seem to be saying that there is no such defense. No one's forcing you to do anything. As opposed to, there are pages that seem to be saying, yeah, they were forced to do something, and the punishment was not related necessarily for what they did in that case.
Don't we assume that God, everything, everyone has that same defense? Or do we assume?
What defense?
The defense of the Ravid and the Ramban, that whatever I'm doing has been somehow preordained by Hashem. But the question is just how far was I able to go?
So it is questionable. Again, this is the question of Bechira and Hashkacha Pratis, etc. To what extent is life predetermined for us, and to what extent are we controlling it? And there definitely are parts of life which the Gemara says we don't really have control over, whether we're rich or poor. Right? What?
Kol
b'Deishamayim. Right? General Kol b'Deishamayim, but how far do you take it? Chutz miYerushamayim. Well, Yerushamayim can mean a lot of things. Well, Yerushamayim could be a big enough loophole to drive a train through.
Did the Ravin and the Ramban, I mean, they agree with this loophole of they would have been able, the Mishnah would have been able to claim that
right. This,
so Avshalom has that claim.
Right, according to them.
So, I mean, it's okay.
Avshalom goes to Gan Eden at the end.
Oh, that's what, okay. But not according to the...
Mm-hmm. No, according to everyone goes to Gan Eden. The question is, how do you get there? But Avshalom definitely ends up going to Gan Eden in the end.
So he's not more of the Malchus, Avshalom.
What? He is more of the Malchus. Whether it's there's tshuva involved.
Quickly, the question whether he has tshuva. Okay.
Right.
I don't understand how the Ramban or the...
Ravid, let's say?
Ravid can say that it's the Mitzrim's fault for whatever the case, going too far or for not listening to Moshe. If Hashem said that they'd be enslaved for 400 years, then if they're predestined to be those people, And they're going to have to go the full 400 years.
Was it 400 years?
Well, no, it was 210. Well,
that kind of undermines your defense, doesn't it?
They've got to follow Jackie. Up with it.
What?
Well, no, not really.
Again.
Is the reason they have their questions because let's say the Chira Nafshi is, we don't have control over the events of life or our position or rich, these types of things, but we have control over our reactions or our emotions to the events of life. So Paro is really the question, because part of this heart is that emotions that were controlled.
So again, that is a separate related question. What does it mean he hardened his heart? Right? Does it mean that not God hardens his heart, but you know, God just kind of let him be, and that's what he wanted was that, or was it that no? God said, listen, at some point there'll be lots of people sitting around a table and dipping their fingers into cups of wine, and we're going to need 10 of these things. So he's just going to sit back and take it. And I think we more likely accept the first one. Yes.
I'm trying to find the pasuk here, but at the end when they chase after Bnei Israel, they have 600 chariots, but it's a home Mitzrayim. In other words, it was like unanimous decision among the people. I mean,
again, it's hard to imagine that 600 is unanimous.
No, but the right. Pasuk indicates. I
Kol sus parecha paro.
Another pasuk I'm looking for, but home Mitzrayim. I forgot to.
I assume we want a b'shalach here.
Yeah, indicating that it was almost, universal decision among the Egyptians.
So, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, on one hand is the issue with Hira, but on the other hand, it looks like people did sometimes make certain decisions beyond, they went beyond a certain point. But on the other hand, even in the worst times, there were always some, there were Germans, there were Poles who, you can't say the entire nation.
Right.
Sure.
Please.
I'm just wondering if in Egypt they actually crossed beyond that.
Not all Egyptians died, right?
No, not all Egyptians died.
So I don't know if we have to assume that they all were involved.
But they were all involved in the Makos.
There was a Uriah Selikim, right? There were people who brought
So there were leaks.
The problem is, those were the people who gave out the horses for the chariots because they only had them left.
Yeah, I wish I found the ones, but how do you reconcile? Is it reasonable?
Right. So you're saying that it seems that historically you accept this idea that each individual makes their own decision, like the Rambam says. However, in Mitzrayim it seemed to be different.
Mitzrayim. The nation, as a whole, they just got swept up.
And this bunches.
Yeah. And they go after,
Right. So again, so Avshalom here, you have the Radak here, which is a classic case of this issue of where did the Bechir and Chafshitz go? Which again is part of a much bigger case of how much Bechir and Chafshitz do we really have? How much Hashkacha Pratis is there really? Do we all have Hashkacha Pratis? Only some of us have Hashkacha Pratis? One of us. Does one of us have Hashkacha? Good. Very nice.
That's what's called Pratis.
Did I take that for yourself a while, you tar? So, all right. Moving right along. Why did it have to be public? It's going back. So again, that's a vision of us. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broko Omer Kol Machal Shem Shemayim B'Seis Shemir From Imenu B'Galui Yechad Shog V'Yechad Beidu B'Chol Hashem. Okay. So Kisha Chod Lev Echad. Okay. So Nasan Hanavi tells him, you're going to get punishment. Like Mitzrayim, he gets told the fourth and final punishment, right? Right? Just like when, according to Rashi, the warning that first comes out is Makos Bechoros, so to here, we start off, he tells him that this optional thing is going to happen as payback for what you have done here. You give him Vayomer David al Nasan Chatosi Adonai, Vayomer Nasan al David, Gam Adonai Havir Chatos Chalosomos. David right away fesses up And thus Navi says, for this your life is saved. Medrash Tehillim number 17, Rishon Shal Adam Eviyel L'Chai Olam Haba. A person's tongue can bring him to Chai Olam. Migram with double level of Chai Olam Haba. How did David get to Olam Haba? Because of this. Piv Shomer Chatosi. David says, I have sinned. Right? And what's the answer? Vayomaro Hashem Eviyel Chatoscha. Eventually for that he gets repentance, even though this was a very terrible thing. He repents. However, Yudalit Ephes ki ni eitz ni atzta es oyevei Adonai b'davar zeh gam habein hayiro l'cha melush yomos. But, however, because of what you've done, the son that is born to you, from your son, then let's back, he will die. Vayeich dosen al beso vayigov Adonai es ayeret asher yolda eishas uriya l'david vayeir nash. In fact, he leaves and the child becomes ill. Vayivakesh David Elohim be'ar ha'na'ar vayotzom David tzom uvav oron v'shachar ha'arza. David at that time begins to fast. He lies on the floor. Interestingly, when we talk about lying sitting on the floor, as we will do tomorrow night, that is usually related to Avelus. So what kind of business is this having Avelus while the child is still alive?
So, Tanis Tzibur. Like, they want rain, it's not raining. Wouldn't that be the same type of thing?
So, the Tosfos and Moikon thinks this is actually Avelus. Afogav de Vishach of Arzak Siv, Ro Eitzel, Navi Eitzel Yelad de Basheva, Afogav de Ro Gabai Meis Ksiv, Ela Albino, Vishema Yehoel Vanovi Omero Moshamus. So David on the one hand knew that once Nosson said he's going to die, he's going to die. So in David's mind, on the one hand, the child was dead. But even though he was dead in his mind, the Afal P, still, she is power of Sheyichya, Kenyan Zer Omar B'Yerusham, HaKosh Baruch Hu, Shehoya Yodeh She'asa Lios Mabel, Hoya Mis'abel Aromo Kodem HaMabel. Just so he was mourning before it happened, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mourning for the world prior to the Mabul, because he knew it was going to happen. But still, even though it was inevitable, it didn't stop him from davening. As we discussed previously with Chizkiah, you know, Yeshayahu tells him that doesn't stop him from davening. In fact, in that case, it works. Unfortunately, in this case, it doesn't work. Yedzayim v'akum v'ziknei beso elov v'akimu min ha'aretz v'ro ova v'ro v'ro itam lochem. People try to talk him into getting up, into eating something, nothing. Child passes away, no one wants to tell David. David had such a negative reaction to the child being sick. How much more so if he finds out the child died? However, David's no idiot. Yotes vayar David ki avodav mislach Hashim vayavin David ki meis hayarad vayomer David al avodav hameis hayarad vayomer meis. David says, tell me, did the kid die? He said, yes. What's David's reaction? Vayakom David me haaretz vayirchatz vayosech vayachiv sumosav vayavo beis Adonai vayishtachu vayavo beisav vayishal vayosim avolachim vayocham. With that, he finally gets up, takes a shower, cleans up, and sits down and has a meal. You have to say this is not the reaction most people expected. When he was just sick, you had this reaction. Now he's dead, you have this reaction. He explains, at the time I was saying, no, maybe I can do something about it. Now there's nothing I can do. At this point, I'm going to be the one who comes to see him. He's not coming back to see me. Obviously, a child dying is something that is a philosophical, theological issue that we should never have to deal with. This is a classical case where the child dies because of the parents. The Otz Midrashim has a very long piece on this. It's, anybody knows somebody in that situation, it's probably very worthwhile reading the piece on it. Just took a little piece out that's related to this. Number 19. Ketanim keitzim v'chaprim. How do you get a kapara through children? Ba'asvichem kishehem ketanim. When children die, when they're young, it's a kapara for the parents. Gedol atzos ketanim avosim she'etzos gedolim pambim hi me'amantenis arba doros avo atzos ketanim v'chaperos miyad. When something happens to an adult, it can take up to 4 generations until the kapara is felt, as opposed to children, it happens right away. There's a long discussion about the first half now, about when something happens to Gedolim. We'll skip to the part of Ketanim. V'chein omer b'David, v'yomer David al Nosan, chatosi l'Hashem, v'yomer Nosan al David, gam Hashem evir chatoscha lo tamus. Yachob lo dover, so I might think that that's it, he's going to get kapara without anything happen. Tamuro, efes ki nietz na'atzes oive Hashem adavar hazeh, gam ha'bein l'cha b'moshimos. Even though Nosan says you're not going to die, still, there's going to be this punishment. Since David understood that this was for him, for his kapara, he spent the 7 days doing vidui. Because he knows if he gets mechira for what he did, the child survives. Right, so therefore, that's why what was going on here is David realized that in order to save the child, he has to have his tshuva done and accepted. However, when they said the child died, so he knew that this is the way that he was saved.
Etc. So he was basically trying to do tshuva.
He was trying to do tshuva. Obviously, the child had never sinned, and in this case, he knew clearly that he was the one who sinned. And the idea that he was attempting to do tshuva in order to save the child, and even though he was David HaMelech, and he was as good at doing tshuva as anybody else, didn't happen.
Can you be less dumb the kaf skut and say that he was doing tshuva so that nothing bad happened to him himself?
I could, but I'd be wrong, because he was already guaranteed that nothing would happen to him by Nosson earlier. So we're going to have to be done. Kavzchus, sorry. The Radak is a little bothered by his reaction, because the Radak says clearly that we know very well that when a person is an Avel, you're not allowed to shower, etc. So, okay, you don't want to do it before, but don't start doing it now.
Well, was the child more than 30 days old?
Ooh, let's discuss that. What do you think? What does it look like?
No.
Why not?
Because he was just born.
Vayhi b'yom ha-shvi. Sounds like 7 days, right? Could have been the Radak. Arachit v'asich v'chiv ha-begadim osu l'avol b'mei evo. V'hech osu David, osam David. Yishpah ki kodim kvura osu kein. First answer is before Avelos started. Avelos only begins with the burial. Before that, you're an onin, which is a very different rule. That a person has to accept whatever comes his way. He wanted to go to the Mishkan and bring a carbon toda, say, I accept what happened, and that he hasn't shaved and showered or washed up in a week. It wasn't improper to go that way, and that's why he did it. So technically, there was nothing wrong with it. David HaMelech accepted everything and cried out to God out of joy, whether things were good or bad, he appreciated where it came from. So now you also offer, don't tell me it has to do about the fact that the Avelos only is by day, not by night. Doesn't accept that. Yesh Parsh Od, 4 lines from the bottom. Ki lo nischayev David ba'Avelos min ha-Torah, ki tol shroshim yom le'idoso mesa yelad. Bada bing. That he says that since he was less than 30 days old, really, the who suffering they fell. in Noah Lishmona. It's the potential that he wasn't really going to ever make it. It doesn't count that he was ever truly alive. Someone says, and it was on the seventh day, what could it mean? It could even mean on the seventh day since the kid got sick, or the seventh day since he was born. Paradoxically, if it means the seventh day since he got sick, David HaMelech hasn't eaten in 7 days. That's hard to accept. So it must be saying the kid was only 7 days old.
That doesn't fit with how.
With what?
With the fact that he was sitting and fasting and sitting and whether the kid's going to be okay or not.
3 days. 4 days. It has to be 7 days.
Wasn't he in a vera not to have hope?
He did have hope.
But he was not praying when the child was sick.
He wasn't?
Not according to this source.
I don't know. I thought he was. According to the Pesukim, it seems that he is. He's trying to do it. He failed.
But he was... Is fasting part of Avelis or praying?
Fasting is a part of praying. Fasting is definitely not part of Avelis.
And sitting on the floor.
That's perhaps part of Avelis.
Yeah.
But the fasting is part of prayer. So that is the Radak. The Chasam Sofer points out that this may be very related to an important machokes about how we treat aninos. So, quick review. When a person loses a loved one, until they bury, they are considered an onen. Onen is a very different situation than an avel. An onen, for example, doesn't do mitzvahs. Men don't put on tefillin. If you eat, you don't make a bracha. It's a whole different ball game. So, does aninus include avelus or not? So again, an onen is allowed to do certain things in order to prepare for the kfura. Just an onen doesn't have to stay at home, unlike an avel that has to stay at home because it's necessary for the onen to get around. Is an onen allowed to shower?
Yes.
That's one answer. So it's getting a little late. We'll just point out that the Chasam Sofer points out this is a Machokas Rishonim, and some people point to our Psukim here to try to work it out one way or the
if
other.
If you don't have a Bailus, do you have a Minus?
What?
If you don't have a Bailus, do you have a Minus?
If you don't have a Bailus, why?
Because the kid died in the first month. I'm like, is that the Machokas?
No, so it was, let's read the last part. So, well, V'anir l'fi anias daiti, alpi masher kosum aforsin, v'shum hachem yadash, achar shemes uriah shoach likach ba'sheva, v'shum shekvar hodiyelo, shahaya hara. So the Chasam Sofer goes on to explain, he says, what's the reason that Dov was in such a rush to marry Ba'sheva? You know? So, the word shotgun comes to mind. And he understood that in fact she was pregnant. Didn't want to be a chil Hashem that she'll be walking around pregnant. So if they get married right away, you know, it's a rounding error. So if it's a 9th pregnancy and they get married in the second one, so it could be 7th pregnancy. I am a safe Kliyakusha Sive Mikra Godol Amsterdam. Vine Kikane Omer Batasha Yarad Koro Khadoshev may be a Rishona Shakoda Misa Surya. Vim Kane Hiniga Velas Pitsina. So what was going on here? He said what happened was he wanted to say the kid was an Aphel. It didn't make it all the way. That's why the child died. However, he knew that this wasn't a 7-month pregnancy. This was a 9-month pregnancy. So that's why publicly he wanted to say, oh, look what's going on. But privately he was keeping his avelus. Interesting approach. But all this was to make it...
It's all part of the cover-up.
It's all part of Oliver Stone's all over this one. etc., etc. So that's the so after discussing the Chasam Sofer as to how Adidas works out and bringing down the Radak, he also gives this interesting Perish as well. One last point on this, the Or Sameach quotes the Rambam. The Rambam Hilchos Tanya says as follows: what if I accept to myself that I'm going to fast today because I know someone is sick? You know that they're undergoing surgery, so I'm fasting for the day. 1 o'clock, they come out of surgery, it's a success. Do I still have to fast the rest of the day? Or I win, I get to call them now.
Yes.
Yes, what?
Don't you still need
there are two people. Yeah. One or two, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. So the Rambam says, Yachid shohi misana al-cholev and israpa al-tzorev avra harezim mashem tanizam, that he still has to finish it up. Or Sameach quotes, Rashi pirsh hu adin im mesa chole. Even if it doesn't go your way, you still have to. If you say, I'm going to fast all day, you're going all day no matter what happens, for better or for worse. I remember Rodney Dangerfield, Paul of the Shalom, famously said, before he went into the hospital for his final surgery, he says, if everything goes well, I should be out of here in 2 weeks. If it doesn't go well, I should be out of here in 2 hours. And he was out of there in 2 hours, actually. Right? So, you know, whether it goes one way or the other, Rashi comments that you still have to complete. V'chein kosev ha-rash v'erech bozeh, v'rabbeinu nokit lashon ha-gemara ulam, yipolabene dekrom afors ma'chishem. So the Or Sameach says, Rashi and the Rush who say that if it doesn't work out, you still have to fast, that's against a pasuk. What's the pasuk? V'hu gabei David, sh'tzom al b'no ha-rishom i-ba-sheva, sh'yichyeh, g'siv ha-yotzem ha-yiv ha-yom ha-shvi ha-yomos, v'achar misoso achar v'shosa. The indication he didn't finish off the day. He just went out and went about his business afterwards. V'ayin shom tira, ki hi stira g'dola. So the question is, how can they say someone has to do it? David HaMelech didn't. How did Rashi and the Rashi mention it? If you think about tzedakah and you may say, I'm making donations and someone should get better, you got to pay no matter what. However, the Or Sameach disagrees with Rashi and Rush and says that if it's a fast, you don't finish the fast. Why? Because then it seems that you're fasting that the person should be brought to life. And we don't pray for supernatural acts. Etc. We won't get into that. But the bottom line is, based on this, the implication is that if a person is fasting, and if you're donating money, that's how much you get better. Whether it works out or not, we hope it does, you still have to pay the money. If it comes with tzom, though, you should stop it. Interesting. Let's just finish up the perek. Chavdal vayinachim, David eis ba'shev v'ishto, vayavoreh v'ishkav imo, v'tere ben, v'yikra shmo shlomo, v'adonai yahivo. Now they have another child, that child is Shlomo, we'll hear plenty about him. Vayishrach v'yad noson anova, v'yikra shmo Yedidya, v'avor Adonai. And they name him after God, Yedidya, he was loved by God. A lot of discussion about that name. Now we're back in Rabbas b'nei Amon, and now Yoav is winning. We have now taken over the water supply. We're in good shape here. Therefore, I suggest that you come here with some more soldiers and you ultimately bring down, so therefore, it'll be known as your victory rather than my victory. In fact, David takes him up on the offer. He's involved in the final attack. So then he takes the crown off of the king and he wears it. It is a kikar zahav. How much is a kikar? What size? 57.6 kilograms, as everybody knows. Based on the understanding that pity on a brain is 96 grams. Don't make me do the numbers. So, how many pounds is 57.6 grams?
112 and a half.
No, because 50 would be 110. Right, so this would be more like 100 and over 125, I would think. 126, 127. That's a mighty big crown. And it's got a big stone in it also. So actually, the Gemara is bothered by how could David HaMelech wear such a big crown? Probably would hurt his head. Yes, the Gemara discusses it. Number 23. So first question, wait a second. Isn't that a Avodah Zarah? He said, "Right now, you know." So Gemara says, "Amar Rav Nachman, Itay Agiti Bar Bitla." No, they had a guy who undid the Avodah Zarah. That's why it's in Avodah Zarah. Mishka, what's on the post? Mishka Kikar Zav, Hechi Matzi Manachay. How could he wear such a big thing? Three answers. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Ruuy Lanuach Arosh David. Now there's this. He didn't actually wear it. They said, "Oh, such a great. He should have worn it." Rav Yossi Bar Chanina Omer, Evan Shoaves Haisabad the Havas Daraba. There was a stone which somehow would float, and that was taking off some of the pressure. It was a helium stone.
Makes a lot of sense.
Okay, you'd be happy with it? No, there wasn't any crown. It just had the stone, which was worth 57.6 kilograms of gold. It's valuing the stone. It's not actually discussing the weight of the crown. Last pasuk, v'asam asher ba hotzi v'yosam b'amageira u'macharti barzel u'magzaros ha'barzel v'havir osam b'malkein v'chin yaseh cholari b'nei amon v'yoshev David cholam Yerushalayim. And he punished the people in a very nasty way. We don't have to go through what it is, and that's what he always did when he would capture such a city. The end.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.